and let's begin. We're up to Parakeh. We've concluded the pasuk of pasuk test. We did pasuk test. We should review just the pasuk without the mefarshim. Should review to get back into the swing of things. Haman left from the presence of the king. Haman was invited to the party. And party number one, and Esther has asked Achashverosh to attend party number two. And the only one that would accompany the king would be Haman. So Haman was obviously flattered that for the second time he was invited exclusively to accompany the king, accompany Esther to this party. He went out in a great state of joy. However, his joy was dampened when he saw that Haman refused to stand. And not only did he refuse to stand, he refused to shake. There are different levels of respect. Sometimes you go out of your way to show someone that you don't respect them. That's not as great. That's not a greater disrespect. That's complete indifference. Contempt is even worse than contempt, because contempt, you show that you at least you exist. And right, ignoring is the worst form of hatred. You don't exist. Now, the only problem is it takes time. Most people need instant results. We live in a world where, you know, if you don't get it within a second, if you don't see instant results, it's already time to head to the therapist if you don't have instant results. But the truth is, if you ignore someone, that's even more powerful. The only thing is it takes longer for the victim or for the other party to recognize that you are ignoring them. But here Haman sensed immediately, he did not even twitch. He was a non-entity. Okay, we learned last time the Targum said that it's more than this. Mordechai extended his foot to Haman, and he said to Haman, "Haman, what are you so proud of yourself? You're a slave. Don't you remember years ago, we went to this medrash a few times years ago, we were on the battlefield, and you depleted your supplies, and you were about to starve, and you came to me, and I gave you food, and in exchange, you sold yourself to me as a slave." Now, I just want to comment on something which really goes back to the beginning of the Megillah. Haman, when Mordechai saw Haman, it says the first time he saw that Haman refused to bow down, it was low in his eyes to execute, to harm Mordechai alone. It was told to him, the nation of Mordechai. What is the significance if Mordechai was the one who was caused pain to Mordechai? Why didn't Haman just take out Mordechai? Why was it Vayivez Bein of Leshlocher B'Mordechai Levado? So one of the answers really relates to this, what it says here in the Targum. The Targum, it's not only the Targum here, it's a Targum before as well, is that Mordechai showed to, reminded Haman that you, Haman, are my slave. And therefore, Haman, what do you think? You think that if you're going to kill me, you're not going to be a slave anymore. In Klal Yisrael, there's something called Yerusha. And every single member in Klal Yisrael has a relative. If there's no children, then there are brothers. If there are no brothers, there are cousins. There are second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins. It's not possible to find someone in Klal Yisrael that does not have a relative. The only one that does not have a relative is a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek. So therefore he said to Haman, Haman, Mordechai said to Haman, Haman, you're my slave. If you're my slave, Masha Kone Eved Kone Rabo. Even though you have purchased the Jewish people, you've gave to Achashverosh 10,000 talents of silver to acquire, to take possession of the Jewish people, it's meaningless because you are my slave and Masha Kone Eved Kone Rabo. And if you think the solution to your problem is that you'll just kill me, so no longer will you have a rabo, a master, it's not going to make a difference because who will my assets go to? My assets will fall Birusha to my closest relative. Who is my closest relative? Well, interesting is Esther was his wife. So Esther will become now the owner of Klal Yisrael, or if not Esther, would go down to another close relative. So therefore, Mordechai Haman realized the only way he can escape the fact, the reality, that he is a slave to Mordechai, Vayives be'enav l'shloach yad b'Mordechai levado. Because just removing Mordechai from the scene is not going to accomplish the Klal Yisrael, and all the assets will go to the close of kin. Ki yigidu lo yis'al Mordechai. And the nation of Al Mordechai, Klal Yisrael, there's something called Halin Halacha Yerusha. So no matter what, Haman will always be a slave to a member of Klal Yisrael, and he felt the only way he can remove himself from this status is by wiping out the entire Klal Yisrael, Chas Hashalom. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. There's another one of the point I wanted to make is the Gra. The Gra over here in this pasuk says the reason why Haman was so happy, he was smich v'tov lev, was because he now felt that he took note that Mordechai was not invited to this party. Haman, until this point in time, according to the Gra, was always suspicious that Esther was loyal to Mordechai. And Mordechai obviously was a very powerful person in government, and Mordechai represented Klal Yisrael, and his entire plan was to bring a gzeir upon Klal Yisrael. But now already, when he made two parties, the first party already has passed, and now he's being invited to the second party, and both of these parties did not include Mordechai HaYehudi. He was not invited to these parties, and the only one that was invited was Haman. Haman now, for the first time, felt secure that he has won over Esther, and Esther has now, after being 5 years in the palace and living a life of royalty as the queen, has now finally abandoned the Jewish people, even though it was not clear if she was Jewish or not, but she certainly until this point in time had some degree of loyalty to Mordechai, but now at this point in time has abandoned Mordechai and is now joined the Sitra Achra, has joined the other side of Haman. That's why the girl explains he was Sameach V'Toyv Lev. It was Sameach V'Toyv Lev that Mordechai was not invited. That's the key point. Haman was invited and not Mordechai. I have prevailed upon Mordechai. Pasuk Yud. He was angry at Mordechai Vayisapak. Haman, the word Vayisapak is a very hard word to translate. It only appears twice in Tanakh, once here, and once in reference to Yosef and Binyamin. When Yosef saw Binyamin, he cried. He went into his inner chamber and he cried. And then it says Vayisapak Vayomer Simu Lechem. Let's eat. So what it means, the same thing really in both places, it means that he withheld, he controlled himself, he composed himself, he withheld his emotions. Mordechai, in this pasuk here, it means that Haman was, at this moment in time, was full of rage, and his impulse was to, at this moment, to execute Mordechai. He had his hand on his weapon, he had his hand on his pistol, and he was ready to execute Mordechai, or to give the command to his officers. He was very high in government, and they could have been executed, he was just about to do so. And Vayisapak Haman, he withheld, he controlled himself. Why did he control himself? Mepharshim say he was afraid of Achashverosh. Maybe now taking the law into his own hands and executing Mordechai at this moment in time, it's premature. The Gezerah was passed that all the Jews would put to death on the 13th day of Adar, which was approximately 11 months from now. So therefore, he was afraid at this moment to take revenge or to harm Mordechai, which of course is a very great miracle, because Haman was not obviously a rational person. He acted on impulse, and yet here Hashem put a machshava into his mind for him to control himself. Now the same thing is true when it comes to Yosef. Yosef, he controlled, he saw Binyamin, he was overcome with emotion, and it would have been his natural impulse to reveal, "Do you know who I am? I am your brother Yosef, you are my brother Binyamin, and let us reunite, let us get together." Yet Yosef was able to overcome his emotions and still pretend to be the viceroy, the Mishnah LeMelech, and not...
Later, it says,
"Oh, so later he was unable to hiss." I think that was because of what was taking place with Yehuda. Yehuda was ready to wage war. But at least at that point in time, he was able to overcome himself. And the fact the Medrash says that when Yosef he withheld himself, it was a simen maisa avos, simen labanim, just like I I was able to withhold myself against my brother Binyamin, so too there will also come a point in time later, another individual that will also withhold himself against a descendant of Binyamin. Mordechai was a direct descendant from Shevet Binyamin, Ishimini, he was from Shevet Binyamin, and Haman also withheld himself and did not kill him at that moment in time. Interestingly, he's comparing himself, Yosef is comparing himself to Haman, but that's exactly what the Medrash says. And the Medrash goes on to say that just like, and how did he resolve his emotions? Simulachem. Yosef said, I'm going to control myself. I'm not going to reveal myself to my brother Binyamin. Instead, let's sit down and eat. We'll have a meal, and through the meal, everything will be resolved. Likewise, through the mishteh, through the party that comes the following day, everything will be resolved, and Haman will be executed, and Klal Yisrael will be spared. So these are the 2 points the Medrash makes, that there's going to be a descendant from Binyamin, to whom someone will withhold himself, and their issue will be resolved through a su'udah. Just like Yosef withheld himself to Binyamin, and he said further, Simu lochem, let's eat, and we'll be able to continue our plan.
Yes, in both cases, it's before a revelation.
Before the ultimate revelation, correct.
Before
because
it
reveals something. For Esther reveals something that she's Jewish, that's her nation, Enoch and Ani. Okay, so this is, he withholds, Vayavol Beiso, he goes to his home, Vayavol Beiso, Vayishlach, he sends, Vayavei Es Ohavav, and he commands that his people who love him, his friends, the Zeresh Ishto. What?
His loved ones.
His loved ones. The question is, Ohavav. Oh, so that's Kedaki, that's a very, later it's the reverse. Later when his fortune begins to fall and he has to lead Mordechai through the streets and call out Kocha Ye'osel Ish, he once again calls Zeresh and he calls his Chachomov. So there are two differences. There, Zeresh was brought first. And there, the Oyavav turned into Chachomov, his wise men. If we can quickly turn to that pasuk, let's see if I could find it. Okay, Vayisaper Haman Lezeresh Isha Lechol Oyavav. Here it's also Vayosh Mordechai Hashem Avodah. Vayisaper Haman Lezeresh. Here it also says Vayisaper Haman Lezeresh Ishtoi Ulechol Oyavav. First it says Oyavav, but notice it says Zeresh Ishtoi. Eis Kol Asher Korahu Vayomru Lo Chachomav Zeresh Ishtoi. Okay, so it starts by calling them over there as well, Oyavav, but then it says Chachamav, and then it says Zeresh Ishtoi. The first question first, why here does it say Oyavav, and why there, and then Zeresh Ishtoi, and why there does it say Vayisaper Haman Zeresh Ishtoi L'chol Oyavav? So the very simple answer is because when he comes to his bias, when this pasuk, where is he returning to? He goes to his bias. Where is his wife? The wife is supposed to be found in the bias. That's where she's expected to be found. So she was already there. There's no need to call her. So who do you have to call? You have to call your friends. Your friends, your loved ones do not live in your home. Your loved ones live elsewhere. They have to be summoned to come to your home. But your wife is on site. She's there. So there's no need for him to call for his wife. That's why in this pasuk it says the pasuk Yud Vayavol Beiso. So who's in his home? His wife. Vayishlach Vayovei, and he brought Es Ohavav. The ones that have to be brought are the friends. The wife does not need to be brought because the wife is already there. So the word Vayovei, the emphasis is, let's get them. The one that we have to spend more effort in retrieving is the Oyavav, more so than Zeresh Ishtoi. Whereas in the Paperik Vav, there, where is Haman going? He's going to the Shar HaMelech. Vayoshav Mordechai El Shar Haman Nitchamo. There it says, Nitchaf El Beisavar, Ne'avel Vechafirosh. Okay, so there the answer does not really work that well then. Vayisab Haman Zeresh Ishtoi L'chol Oyavav. They already, okay, he's not sending for them. Okay, there he's not sending. I take that back. I don't know. The answer doesn't really seem to work out well. Right, the other answer I saw, which is a much better answer, is a woman typically offers sympathy. Noshim Rachmani Yosef. So here Haman is planning to execute Mordechai. Haman does not want sympathy. Haman wants blood.
He wants blood.
He wants blood. So he knows that he calls his wife, even though his wife was a Machashefa, no question about it. But women have a tendency to say, "You're going to kill him. Blood. You're going to hang him up. Ugh, I can't look at them. These scenes are not for me." Women are more. What's the good word?
Man stuff. Man stuff.
That's women are. Women are more squeamish to see blood. So here, Haman wants blood. There is this individual, Mordechai, who refuses to bow down. He's a source of agony. Here I'm on a high, I come back from the party, and I have to see this in front of me. So if I'll call my wife and I'll tell her what I want to do, I want to hang him up, I want to kill him, I want to stab him, I want blood, my wife's going to say, "Ugh. Blood. I don't want to see blood. This is not for me." So that's why he says, "You, my wife, you'll be my second advisor. Let me bring my oihavav, bring in the men, bring in the cavalry. Let's talk to the men, the ones who are used to seeing all the gory details. They'll give me advice. Yeah, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. And then we'll just run it over with my wife. My wife always has the final say, but she'll just give her stamp of approval." Later, Haman comes back, Ovel v'chafui roish. He's in mourning, he's sad, he wants sympathy. He's a crybaby. "I want sympathy." So who do you call when you need sympathy? You call for your mommy. You call your mommy. Who's his mommy? His wife. Right? He calls for his wife. His wife should offer some sympathy. So first he calls for Zeresh Ishtoi, and then he calls for Oyavav. And jump ahead, the reason why suddenly the Oyavav turned into the Chachomav is when the Oyavav realize this guy's in trouble, all of a sudden they're no longer his friends. They turn from Oyavav into Chachomav. You're only a person's friend when there's something in it for you. Things are going good. When things are not going so good, all of a sudden they start giving you advice. Go get a lawyer, go get a doctor. All of a sudden there's a sense of distance when they realize things are not going your way. But as far as the wife, it's a matter of what the goal is to gain sympathy or not. Okay, let's now go to the Rashi. If there is, Rashi Pasuk Yud, Vayisapak Nischazek. Nischazek is an expression of strengthen. To strengthen your impulse, to withhold. La'amoid al-kaso, he strengthened himself to control his anger. Ki hoya yorei li'inokim b'loi reshus, he was afraid to take revenge without permission. The Yisapak, and he translates the word, this is a French word, which obviously means he was Nischazek, he strengthened himself. Okay, the Targum, some Targum are going to be very long here, and let's see if one at a time. What?
A whole Megillah.
Let's see, but here's a short one. Okay, I don't know the translations. I always warn you, I don't know the translation of every word. We'll just try to get the gist of what the Targum is trying to say. Pasuk Yud, there is Haman. Haman was as Mizorin. It seems he's translating it differently. The word there is Haman, it means he was swift, he was diligent. He was diligent. That's the same with the word Zoris. There is. I'm assuming it means diligent. So that's an entirely different approach to the word Vayisapak. It's not Nischazek. He strengthened. He controlled himself. He was diligent to quickly go to his home and seek advice.
The Yiddish underneath the Rashi as Hatzich Anrav.
Held himself back. And that's the Rashi. Rashi is Nischazek. La'amud al-Kasa. That's Rashi. But the Targum appears to be using a different word. He has a problem, and he's not going to let this get to him. He's going to be swift and diligent in getting rid of and solving this problem. There is Haman. The Aleveise. He was diligent. He entered his home. Ushadar. He dispatched. Ukra. Yos Richoimoi. Richoimoi means those Rachmanis. Those who he loved. The Zeresh Risha'ato. Notice that the Targum loves to call her the Machashefa. Zeresh the Machashefa, the wicked one. Now he tells us who she is. Here's a very fascinating Targum. He reveals her Yichos. She was, in to say, to say his wife, Rishiata in to say the Rishiata, his wife, who happens to be a Mucheses of Rishus, Beras, the daughter, Tatnai. Tatnai is one of the people in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, one of the governors of Yerushalayim, the non-Jewish governors who participated in writing the accusation that the Jewish people should not rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Bras, the daughter, Titnai, Pachas, the governor, Eder Nahara. So she has, the Targum is telling us, she has one agenda. Her one agenda is to make sure the Beis HaMikdash is not to be rebuilt. She has it against the Jewish people, just like her father has it against her Jewish people, like father, like daughter. And therefore, as you could imagine, when he calls for her advice, it's going to be obviously to execute and to do away with Mordechai. Okay, let's go to the next. What? Vashti was the widow of the Nebuchadnezzar, correct. Vashti, but Vashti was part of the previous regime. She was part of Nebuchadnezzar, the great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, who actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're in a new government, a new regime. We're in the Malchus of Paras HaMadai. There's a governor appointed over Yerushalayim who has issued a sitna, a accusation against the Jewish people, and here the one that's actually married to Haman is this woman, so we know where Haman stands. The man is very much influenced, obviously, by his wife. Both of them have the same agenda. They both have the same agenda of like minds. And by the way, the Chazal said, the Medrash says that Haman had 365 advisors. Okay, that's quite a bit. Okay, is that to be... What? One per day? I mean, 365, but that's quite a number of advisors. And the Medrash says that even though she's a Rishata, the Medrash says that she was super brilliant. She was smarter than all of the 365 advisors put together. That's what the Medrash says. So she was a brilliant woman. So we should not make any mistake. And I think that Vashti was just that Zeresh was just stama nobody, a machashefa. She was a machashefa, but she was a smart machashefa. Evil like a fox. What's it called? Evil like a fox. Is there an expression?
Yeah, fox. Sly like a fox.
Sly like a fox. Okay, but she was a brilliant woman, for real. That's what it says. Pasuk Yud Aleph.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it's a witch. It's a witch, yeah. Machashef is a witch. I'm just using that colloquial expression. Colloquial. This is a... We call a woman who's I don't mean she was a witch, a sorcery. I just mean she was what we call today evil woman. Okay. Pasik Yud Aleph. Pasik Yud Aleph says, "Vayisaper lohem Haman es kavod ashrav roibonav." So Haman here begins to brag. He starts talking about, you know who I am. People don't appreciate how great I am. The kavod ashrav, the honor of my wealth. My money talks. Roiv Banov, there's a discussion how many children he actually had. Some say he had 30 children. 30, okay, that's a gematria, but the first Medrash says he has 30 children. From the 30 children, 10 of them died naturally. Cursed, he was cursed, so 10 died. 10 of them were hung with him, and 10 of them were reduced to abject poverty. The paupers, the machzer al hapsachim, ani chashev al hames. But at this point in time, they were all standing strong. He had 30 children. That's called roiv. But why is it called roiv? I'm not sure how you get from roiv to mean to tell you that it means there are 30. But that's what the Medrash says. Then the Medrash goes off on a tangent and says roiv is begematria 208. Now if you add a vav, it will be two. If you vav between the reish and the beis, it will be 260. What?
No,
with the vav, the roiv. Okay. Roiv is 202. But it seems the medrash is another 6, 208. So it seems that the medrash says viroiv. It takes into account the whole entire word viroiv. Viroiv. No, then there would be another vav. Our spelling of roiv does not have a vav. Roiv is spelled chaser. In the pasuk, reish beis. Just to take the word reish beis is 202. Reish Beis is 202, but you have the Vav, the Roiv, is 208. Right, the Roiv is 208. Now, however, some even want to go further. The Medrash really says, but we make believe the word Roiv is spelled with a Vav in between the Reish and the Beis. So it's two Vavs. So it's 214. So the Medrash actually says he had 214 children, the Gematria, the Roiv, which the Medrash is assuming that we either had a different text, different girsa, where indeed there was a vav in between the resh and the beis, or the gematria. When you have a gematria, you also include the vowels, and since there is an invisible vowel of a cholim, which really is a vav, so therefore it's going to be 214. Then the Medrash says no, the Roiv. The Medrash I think actually questions, but it says the Roiv without a vav. I don't remember the details, but either it's going to be whatever. But it basically means that he had...
The Targum says 8. 208.
Okay, so Targum. But the Medrash is 214. Okay, so at this point...
Had multiple wives because
we had mistresses. He had mistresses. Yeah. Some, in fact, want to say, some want to say when it says he called Ohavav, if I'm not mistaken, if I read this correctly, the Roiv Ohavav means he called all of his mistresses, all of his lovers, his mistresses, because those are the ones, that's an expression that's used, and also Hashem gave Bina Unoshimav, Bina Yisera. So how could it be that he calls, how he invites all of his mistresses in the presence of his wife, Zeresh, just like he was unfaithful, she also was unfaithful. This was accepted in society. So she did whatever she did, he did whatever he did, and he wasn't even embarrassed when there were certain presidents of the United States that did the same thing. There was stories, I don't remember which president, he had in the White House. He had like a Pilagash. Yeah. He had a... Jefferson's a chaluki days. So that's a chaluki days. Okay, whatever. Okay, whatever it is. But at kadekach. That's what it says. If he has v'roiv bon of 216 children, obviously it's not from one woman. Obviously, it goes to show what kind of life Haman was living. He also describes how he has been elevated to a great degree of stature. The Esasher Nisao. So there are two expressions, Gidloi and Nisoi. What's the difference? I forgot the difference. I think one is with money and one is with stature. Gidloi, different degrees. Allah Hassan, he's also his chair. And Nisa, I think we learned this beginning of the Megillah, is that when they sat in government, so your seat was elevated. Like the Speaker of the House, right? The Speaker of the House is the Vice President, and the Speaker of the House, they sit above everyone else. All the members of Congress, they sit in a circle.
They sit by the Mizrach front.
And they sit the Mizrach facing the Mizrach facing the Olam. So that's what it means. Ayesha Nisso, his seat literally was elevated above everyone else in government, which was a sign of stature. Al Hasanavi Al Avdei HaMelech. So he said over here, he began to try to give himself comfort by saying, I shouldn't really pay attention to one Jew. One Jew doesn't want to bow down to me. Big deal. Look at all the cover that I have. Look at all the honor that I have in this world. Okay. That's how it starts, right? Despite everything, that's leading into the next pasuk. I have everything except for this one thing. I have that. It leads into the next pasuk. Okay, correct. Let's take a look first at the Rashi. If there is no Rashi, let's take a little Targum. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Targum the Ishtoei Lohoin Haman. Haman related. He related to them. Yos Yikar, his honor, Osrei of his wealth, the honor of his wealth. The Heich Ismanei Im Duchse Malka, how he was appointed with the dukes of the king, in other words, the highest position in government, v'heich rohatim kodomo sigius, how they ran before him, okay, he was accompanied, okay, they would walk in front of him, sigius binoy, this somchon, which their song has a house, has a numerous children. The total number of children equaled Masan Ismania 208. So he's obviously taking the word Rove. Either he's ignoring the first Vav And he's saying, so either he's ignoring the first vav of vi, and he has a girsa of resh vav beis, or he's just taking the whole word viroiv, viroiv, which is vav, which is a total of 208, whatever it is, bar min asarte, which
except for the 10.
Bar min asarte ocharonin. Okay, besides the 10, the other 10, the inin which were pulmarkin al palchai, who were governors. These other 10 sons were all senators. They were senators. They were governors. They were whatever they were.
Plus
another 10. Ubar besides min shamshai, besides all of the servants. The servant Shamshai, beside Shamshai, bin bar min Shamshai, name one person. One person's name was Shamshai. To Safrono de Malka, he was also given
the secretary.
He was his personal secretary. The Yos Madi Rabe Yosei Malka, and also in addition to the fact that the king has elevated him to a great position of authority, the Yos de Zakfe Alave Kol Rav Rivonoi, he was elevated. He stood up higher. He was zokuf. He was higher than all of the great people, Vavdo de Malka, and the servants of the king. So this was, he was bragging to his wife and to his oyhavav. Now, Pasuk Yudbeis, Vayomer Haman. Haman goes further. Af also. Af is an expression of anger. We'll come to that in a few moments. Lo hevia Esther Malka Mamelch Ela Mishtesha Asasa. Furthermore, Esther Hamalka did not bring Im Hamelech to the Mishteh, which she has made Kimosi. Now this was yesterday's party. Let's talk about the past. In the past, there was a party. The party was made by Esther, and Esther made the party for the king. We're going to learn simply that when it says the first party was made, Asher Asisi Lo, I'm going to make only for the king. The party will be in honor of the king. If we go back to Pasuk Dalit, Vatomer Esther Emal HaMelech Tov. I'm bringing this up because this explains simple Shan the Pasuk. And Pasuk Dalit, it said, Vatomer Esther Emal HaMelech Tov Yavoh HaMelech V'Hamon Hayom El HaMishtah Sher Osisi Lo, which I'm making for him. Now, who else did she invite? She also invited Haman. So in the first party was made in honor of Achashverosh. It is the Achashverosh party. Haman is just a guest. He has to wear one of those things around his neck that says, a name tag that he's a visitor. Right? He's a visitor. He's just a guest. You're a guest over here in this location. The second party, it says, Vayomer HaMelech, so he says, they went to the party. And then in Pasuk Ches it says, "Im atzasi chen b'nei hamelch v'hamelch tov lo seis eshelusi lo atzas makoshi yavo hamelch v'chamon el hamishas sher eser lohem." The second party is both, so neither of the two wore tags because they were the people who they're the party. The party was in their honor. They were equal. So it's a different type of party. That difference between lo and lohem here is expressed in this pasuk very precisely. It's an interesting idea. He says this in the Mishmatzai Zaf. He points this out. It's a very beautiful idea. Have this expressed in this pasuk. Vayomer Haman af also lo hevia. I was not brought Esther Hamalka. I was not summoned Esther Hamalka im Hamelech. The first party is I was a tofel to the melech. The party was made low. I was brought together im hamelech. El hamishasher osa kimosi, that she made, the party that Esther made for the king, I was brought also as a guest. The gam limochar, tomorrow, ani korula, I am called im hamelech.
Together with the king.
Okay, but tomorrow... All right, you're right. Maybe I'm making a mistake then. I saw some...
In with an aleph and in with an ayin.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. That's maybe there. It's in... No. Asher osa kimos... No, they're both ayins. Okay, I take it back. I saw an idea which I'm not recalling correctly. V'gam l'machar ani ay karula. I have been invited. I have been called to attend im hamelch. So in the past, I'm great, and in the future, I'm great. I'm great all around. My legacy is wonderful, and my future is very, very positive. I'm very optimistic about my future. Let's see Rashi. If there is no Rashi. Targum pasuk yud beis. Va'amar Haman. Haman said, Baram bat. So he's translating the word af as the word, like the word avol, but. Even though everything seems seeming good, lo hanolas estemalkos, so hanolas means to be brought. The queen in Milka with the king Limishtaya to the party di avdas, to the party that was made previously yesterday, Elohim, none other but Yossi, myself, the uf, and also Idan Mechar, at the time tomorrow. Idan means at this time tomorrow. Ano mizumul, I am invited, Livosa Limishod Imalka, alone. Livosa means
together.
Together. Limiso to dine in Malka again with the king. So again, he's basically praising himself. How great I am. Okay, let's go to now. There's one medicine I want to point out, and that is the word af. There are four people. There are four people which have which use this. Where we find the word af is used in connection with. Number one is Haman. Over here, af. Three, let me give you one moment to turn to the page. Okay, Arbohem, Shepischoi Be'af, the Avdoi Be'af. They start with af, you have three in your girsa, and are destroyed with af. Elohim Nochash, what did the Nochash say? Af ki Omar Elohim, even though Hashem said, Not to eat from it. Don't worry, nothing is going to happen. So the Nochash began with the word af. Number two is the Sar Ho'oifim. The one who came to Yosef to interpret the dream. He said, af ani b'chaloimi. Korach said, af loyal eret zovas cholov dvash havi osanu. Korach complained, and Moshe, what have you accomplished for us? Moshe, what did nothing? You did not bring us to Eretz Yisrael. And here the fourth one is Haman af lo hevio esra malka imamelach. Each one was cut down. The Nochash was cut down. The Sar Ha'oifim was killed, and Korach was swallowed in the ground, and Haman was executed. So therefore, what is the common denominator? Because af is an expression of anger. People who are guided by anger are in trouble. They are not royal lebracha. The Baal HaTurim says, we once mentioned this, the Baal HaTurim says that in the Birchas HaMazon, all of the letters of the Aleph Beis appear in the first three brachas. All of the letters of the Aleph Beis appear, all 27 letters. When I say 27, there are 20, but also the end letters, except for the Seif, the Pei Seifis. The Pei, the end Pei, is the only one of the 27 letters of the complete Aleph Beis that does not appear. Because the letter Pei is Af, it represents the pronounced portion of the word anger, Af. The Aleph is not really, the Aleph is really a vowel. The Aleph is not really, so the Pei alone stands alone of anger. When you're benching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're giving blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no mokoin for anger. And in fact, anyone who displays, who allows anger to control him, is Avodah Zarah, and what happens is cut down. The Nochash was cut down, Korach was cut down, the Sar Ha'oifim was cut down, and Haman, all of these four had bad midos. They were people of kasa, they were people of anger, they did not know how to control their anger, and now they were cut down, and we come to bench to give blessing to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want this midah to participate in any shape or form in the Birchas HaMazon. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. So he complains over here. Fine. He comes to the party. All of this einenu shoyveli. All of this is not worth anything to me. All of my gudulas, my great accomplishments, and my cover, my honor, is not worth a kihuzeh when I see this Jew, Mordechai Yehudi Yosheb Shamelech. And of course, that means that he refuses to humble himself and bow down before me. Let's take a look at Yud Gimel and the Rashi. Absolutely, he was obsessed with himself. Okay, most of the time when you're obsessed and you get angry and you're happy and love, it's not about the other person, it's about yourself. People they love a woman. Why do they love this woman? Because they really like her. They love themselves. they find that this person is the object which you can satisfy your taiva. That's called love. That's called you love yourself. And when that taiva goes away, then you look at the person. Who is this person? I don't really have anything to do with you. And then it's just there's regret and there's remorse. So that most of anger is the same exact thing. When people get angry, who are they really getting angry at? They're angry at themselves. They're angry at themselves why they made miserable mistakes in their life. And when they see someone else make that same mistake, they don't really care about that person who made that mistake. It's just a reminder of the mistakes, the chesronos that they see in themselves, and that's why they get angry. Trust me, I'm even young. So this is the anger. He was obsessed, really, I think, with himself. With Haman was a very complex person. So what does he say? V'chol zein inish avli, this worth nothing to me, v'chol inish ani res Mordechai Yudhi Yoshe b'shar melech Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, ein inish avli, ein inich chosh l'chol ha-kavod asher li. All of the kavod is worthless when there's one thing that is unattainable. Amru Rabbah b'chol eis, Amru Rabbah seinu, sho yemaru lo yishtar shemocher atzma le'eved. Rashi quotes what the Medrash, which is exactly what we learned in two psukim before in the Targum, what we learned on Friday. The Targum is exactly the same thing, that when Mordechai would walk in the street, Mordechai had attached, it was attached to his leg, the shtar mechira, and he stuck out his foot and said, Haman, who do you think you are? You're a slave, you're my slave. And you think you're going to kill me? Not going to make a difference. You'll go to my Yerushim, and you'll kill my Yerushim, you'll always be a slave. As long as there's one person in Klal Yisrael alive, you'll always be a slave. So that's what it says, B'chol Eis, every moment I walk in the street, Omer Abbasinu, Shal Yimaru L'Shtar Shemoch, Ratzma L'Eved, Al Choyser Mizoynas, He'd lacked Parnasa, Kishen Nismanu, Roshe Gayosos, when they were appointed to head battalions, legions in the battlefield years ago, through Achashverosh, Mordechai V'Ham, B'Muchamacha. So you see, it's Mamash Rashi. It says, no, most people never heard of this. It's being called esoteric or medrash. It's Rashi Mamash quotes this thing beferish, that Mordechai was sold as a slave to Haman was sold as a slave to Mordechai. Sold himself because he did not have mechusar lechem. He did not have what to eat. He mismanaged his funds. He mismanaged what the king allocated for the melchama. He had no choice but to sell himself as a slave to Mordechai. And as we mentioned before, the Chasam Sofer goes very far to shock what the Chasam Sofer says, and not everyone agrees, and there's a lot of complex lumpness in this, is that according to the Chasam Sofer, he was Jewish. When you sell yourself as a slave, you become Eved Kanani. Ad Kedei Kach, the Chasam Sofer holds that he had bris milah, Haman under bris milah, and he was toivled in the mikvah. They put him in the mikvah, he went bris milah, and he was chayiv, and at some point he observed mitzvahs ki'isha. He was doing mitzvahs. He observed Shabbos for a period of time in his life until he just broke away. He went off the derech. He escaped from Mordechai. He obviously was no longer religious, but that nitzayt, you know, that nitzayt, that spark of Judaism in him is probably what made him to become the ultimate Sonei Yisrael. As we all know, unfortunately, the biggest Jew haters are the Jews themselves.
Self-hating Jews.
It's true. There's no question about it. This nitzayts of Judaism in Haman is really what made him turn in. And therefore, it also does explain, as we mentioned many times, also, Mibnei Bonov Shal Haman Lomdu Tov Mibnei Rak. How could it be such a thing? How could it be such a thing that his Enochloch, the archenemy of Klal Yisrael, is sitting and learning in Bnei Brak? Answer is, to some degree, well, he was Jewish. He was Jewish, and to some degree, someone told me this amazing story. What? His wife was not, but there's a spark. You're right. It's not halachically Jewish. You're right. So how do you explain this? So maybe his wife also converted. I don't know. Zeresh. We don't know. By the way, I want to make you aware that many of the Gedolim, many of the Achronim, they strongly disagree with the Chasam Sofer. They say it's absolutely true that he was sold as a slave, but just because he was sold as a slave, he never underwent tzmila, and tzvila was never makabel. There are different types of slaves. There's a there's a halachic Eved Kenani, and then there's an Eved Kenani when you're a slave and you don't undergo the entire process. He doesn't want to go. So those slaves are just a piece of property, and they do not have all of the halachos of a Jew. They're supposed to, but not everyone is willing to accept. So Haman never went that far. Chassam Sofer says it went that far. At the kachwa, that's Pshat the pasuk. Ki gidlohem, Mordechai told everyone, ki hu Yehudi, that Haman's a Jew. What Haman is selling is wants to wipe out the Jewish people. It's a suicide for himself. He's also Jewish. According to the laws, he's also Jewish. Hitler, Yimach Shemo, he said the Yichus even goes after the father. Hitler, he said anyone that's Jewish, has any Jewish blood, has to be executed. Even if
Four generations.
No matter what it was. So Mordechai was saying he called himself Jew. I'll tell you a very interesting story. I heard that someone mentioned the story. There was a in Eretz Yisrael, there was a self-hating Jew, chiloni, as chiloni as it gets, anti-religious as possible, and had a son. And all of a sudden, one day, the son comes home and says, "You know, Father, I want to be chayzer b'shuva. I want to put on tefillin Shabbos." Who have you been talking to? Father starts investigating, and he realized the next door neighbor was having an influence on his son. Every so often he would talk to him about Yadlis, about Shabbos, about this. And over time, it had an effect on the child, and the child now already wanted to go to the next step. So the parent was fuming, and he was an influential figure in the community. He took the neighbor to court. It's a true story, supposedly. It's a good source. He took the person to court to sue him for brainwashing his child. So they go somehow, I don't know how this works, there's such a thing, you can do something like this. So somehow this ended up in court, there was some type of court, and the judge was listening to the case, and the judge says, "I can't believe this, I know who you are. We come from, I know your mother, I remember your mother."
Whose mother?
The mother of the Chiloni.
Oh.
The grandfather of the boy. I remember her. We come before the war. We lived in the shtetl in Poland, wherever we were. And we come. I was a little boy, and I remember going to Shul on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and I remember your mother, and I remember at that point in time you already were influenced by the Maskilim, and you already were already off the derech, half off the derech. And I remember how much Agvas Nefesh your mother had. And I remember her crying in the shul. I remember the tsar you gave her. And I always used to say to myself, how could it be? What's with those tears? What's with those tfilos that this mother, bitter tears, she spilled, she cried for you, what has happened? And it always bothered me. And look at this, years later, here I am, and you come to court, you're the same you always were, and your son was chayzer b'shuva, and the next door neighbor. I now see the tefillos have been answered. I see now the tefillos have been answered in the next generation. Case dismissed. It's too bad. It's too bad. This is what your mother would have wanted, and that's the story. So you never really know. Haman, according to the Chassam Sofer, had Mila, had Tzvila. He was observant for a short period of time in his life. There was a spark of Yados in him, and therefore it's not so far-fetched to understand that it can be such a thing. Mibnei Bonav Shel Haman Lomdu Torah Mibnei Brak. Okay, there's not such a far-fetched thing to say. Okay. He was very powerful in government. This is only very temporary. They were in the battlefield. They were in the battlefield, and he was starving. But you come back home. You're a celebrity. You're a senator. You're a governor. You're a general. So in the battlefield. So he was starving. So he made a deal with Mordechai. Mordechai, give me some food, and I'll be your slave. But once they got back home, he was able to wiggle out of any legal arrangement between him and Mordechai and say, "Listen, I'm the general of the army. What do you want from me? I'm a chashev person." And Mordechai had no control. Jews had very little control. No, they had right, but al pi halacha, Mordechai would show, "Look, I have a shtar. there's something called Jewish law. The Beis Hamikdash was only destroyed 70 years ago. We know that this is the real deal. We know that Torah is the Iker. We know that you're my slave. And Haman, obviously, in his mind, it bothered him. It bothered him. According to Rashi, Rashi says, I can't take this anymore. Every time I walk in the street, he's showing me the shtar. I'm your slave. He couldn't live with himself. So he had to finally put an end to this. Okay, now.
Was that a smart thing that Mordecai did?
So that was the debate. This was the difference. We once discussed this. This approach is questionable. It's not for everyone, and it's not for everyone's time. It takes a certain personality, and it takes the times, the era that you're living in, sometimes demand that you do this. It all depends on the tekuva. So we mentioned this, in fact, was the difference in approach between Daniel and Mordechai. Daniel was a diplomat. Everything still a hate. You don't show display signs of Jewishness. You wear your hat. You don't show your yarmulke. You put your tzitzis in your pants. You don't wear a kapot in the street. You don't wear your talis in the street on Shabbos. You're like the German Jews. You don't even talk in Hebrew. You speak in the foreign language. Yadus is something you only do in private. And you certainly don't provoke the goyim by talking to them with chutzpah. Mordechai took a different approach. Mordechai walked around with his beard and his payas and his strimel and his white socks. And when you see a Haman in the street, you're a kanoi. And you stand there and you fold your arms and you say, who do you think you are? You good for nothing, piece of garbage. You're an avodah zarah? You provoke him. So, well, who's right, who's wrong? It depends. It takes a certain personality, and sometimes the times that you're living in demand a different approach.
But he was part of the Sanhedrin. Shouldn't he have consulted with the rest of the Sanhedrin?
He was the Rosh Sanhedrin.
So he doesn't have to consult?
Maybe he did. It's a different approach to Yadus, and that's what we discussed. That's why Daniel died at this point in time. There was a departure. Daniel departed from the scene, and Mordechai stepped up into the scene. Why? Because going back in Sefer Daniel and Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, we don't even hear about Mordechai. Mordechai was alive. He obviously was a very big personality. He was a very famous person. How come his whole existence is downplayed? Because at that tekufa, that was not the popular approach to Yadus. The popular approach at that point in time was Hatsnea Lecha Simulokecha. You have to be quiet, you have to be Nechba Ben Akelim. Now is a different tekufa. In this tekufa, Daniel departs, Mordechai enters, ascends. It's a different tekufa. What's the tekufa in this generation? Well, there are many different groups. There are some groups in Klal Yisrael that approach different strokes for different folks. That's always what it's about. And the times are different. Everyone has to find their place, and everyone ein davar she'ein lo yishah. Every hashkafa has a time when it's dominant in history. Let's see the Targum on Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, we have over here a bit of Targum.
No, that's Yud.
Oh, sorry, Yud Gimel. Where's again? Yeah, V'chol da, leisei timei levasi. Timei means taste. I think it's a very interesting word. If I'm correct, shav is a hard word to translate. Shav means value. V'chol zeinin shoyveh. Shoyveh is normally a word you use of dollars and cents. Put a figure. So, I don't care about COVID. I don't care about... Just let's talk tachlis. Shoveh.
I'm saying it's an unusual usage, because normally you say
shoveh. Shoveh. But normally the word is used in terms of dollars and cents. I don't care about COVID. I care about zionos. Gotta make a parnasa. Let's talk about paying the bills. Who's going to pay you for the cell phone? Right? The most important bill is cable, the cable bill, and the cell phone bill, internet bill. Heat, food, those things are not important. What's important is to pay dollars and cents. That's what counts. But that's not the way it's been used. Over here he's talking about my kovoid, my gedula, my oisher. He's using the word shayv in reference to everything mentioned above. The whole dol leisei timei taste has no flavor to me. No time. B'chol idan, every moment, the Mordechai, the Jew, He sees this Mordechai Yehudi, the Yosef, the Sanhedrin. Now notice over here what he says. He sits in the Sanhedrin. It's not enough that he just sits. He sits in the Sanhedrin im ulei mayot with the kindlach. So his eager focus on the children. Bisra in the gate palterin de malka. Now indeed, we're going to learn a lot about the children later on. There is an obsession with the children. This is something which the Midrashim take note of. Haman could not deal with the children. The children, he was sitting and learning Torah, they were Moser Nefesh. It bothered him to no end. Hashem has a sense of humor. And Hashem says, Mibnei Bonim Shol Haman Lomdu Torah Mibnei Barak, who was from his descendants? So Chazal say, this father, Ravami Pano, all the Mekubalim, Rabbi, how could I forget? Rabbi Lozer Bar Shilas, was that his name? Rabbi Lozer Bar Shilas. This is the famous Melamdei Tinoiko Shol Beis Rabba. When you go to a dinner, a Malava Malka for Yeshiva Katana, they'll always talk about the famous figure, Rabbi Lozer, I think his name is Rabbi Lozer. Give me one moment. I'll tell you who it is. I have it written down here. Oh, here he is. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Shilas. Mibnei Bonov Shal Torah Limdu Torah Mibnei Brak V'Isa B'Seder Hadoyres. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Milame Tinoikos Hava Mibnei Bonov Shal Haman. Unbelievable. The model, the paradigm of a Milame Tinoikos Tashvar, a Rebbe that teaches elementary school children, teaches them the basics, is Rabbi Shmuel Bar Shilas. The Gemara says that for 13 years he did not take a vacation. Out of your mind. 13 years, you're an elementary school Rebbe, you teach every single day, with no exception. Yud Gimel Shana Loiro Hagan Shal, he never saw his front yard. He never went out to see the front yard because he was busy teaching Kindlach. Shaloi Lanich Talmidov, not to abandon the students. There was one moment, the Ashkechei Rav, there was one moment, the Koi Beginta, one time it happened that he was found in the garden. And Rav said, I can't believe this. Amalei Shavkas Lehem Nusech? Did you retire? Did you abandon your faith? I can't believe that you're in the garden. You're taking a stroll in the garden. Did you retire? Amalei no da'atai lehasan. No, I'm not. I'm thinking how to improve my methods. Enrichment. I am, what's it called? Yeah, what's it called when you go? Enrichment. What do you do when you want to
go on a retreat?
You are?
Go on a retreat.
For some time, I'm taking courses how to be even a better Rebbe.
Sabbatical.
Not even a sabbatical. Whatever. So he, the Gemara uses of Shmuel Bar Shilas as the ultimate, as the model of what a Melamed Tinoiko is all about. And who was he? He was Mibnei Bonov Shel Haman. He had in him the blood of Haman Harasha. How you talking? So the question is beyond understanding. There really is no answer, right, to understand, but this is what it says. And just to emphasize the how bizarre it is, who was Haman the most obsessed with? The children. And yet from him came the person in Klal Yisrael who is the model for all Melamdei Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban. That's how far it went. Okay, now then that's what it says in the Targum. Targum says he sees him in the Sanhedrin, he sees him with the children. Now it says here v'chol zeh. What is the significance of v'chol zeh? So the Medrash says zeh is a code word for zeh keli v'anveyu. He was koyfer be'ikar. When Haman went and he saw Mordechai sitting beside, it wasn't Haman at one point in time. There are different degrees of people who hate Jews. I mean, the Christians traditionally who spilled much blood. Do they deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's against their religion. Of course not. Right? The Christians who have the Crusaders. Do the Crusaders deny the? Did they deny the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Adarabah, they killed the Jews in the name of God. Right? I don't know who's God they're referring to, but they of course they. So you, whenever you deal with an anti-Semite, it's always interesting to where you're coming from. The Muslims, all these Islamic jihadists, these fundamentalists, extremists. It's in the name of Allah, right? In the name of Allah, we're going to destroy the world. Allah told them, Allah appeared to Muhammad and he told Muhammad that they should destroy the world. It's nonsense. Holding is crazy. But they believe in God. They believe in God. Every time there is an enemy against Klal Yisrael, you have to take note. Here it says that the anti-Semitism, the degree of his hatred has shifted from killing the Jews in the name of God to killing the Jews as an atheist. The whole ze einen shaveli. This concept of ze keli v'yanvei, that's what the Medrash says. Ze keli v'yanvei einen shaveli does not sit well with me. I do not believe there is a God. And therefore therefore that will now allow me to do what I want. I guess what he's saying is that no restraint. Even a fundamentalist, an extremist, if you believe there's a God, there are rules. There has to be some limitation, some set of rules. But when there's no God, there's no limit. There's no rules.
See, how is the same because the Jews are kafir. That's why he's saying. And the kafir has to be killed.
But there has to be some. Something, right. But there has to be something when you're doing it in the name of God. There has to be epis, something, some limitation. I don't know what, where, how, but there are. But when you deny God entirely, everything goes. There's nothing that's beyond what you can do. And that is where here he's making this shift. This hatred for Klal Yisrael caused him to cross this barrier of the whole Zeh, the fact that there's something called a God, Zeh Keli Gandeu, Einen Shavali, does not exist in my book. Okay, another interesting point. This idea of, he sees, Haman has everything you can possibly want. But there's one Jew, one single Jew that does not want to bow down to him, that's being Mavaz, and he doesn't make any sense. How could it possibly, the person who has everything, think about it logically. If you have everything you can possibly want, how could it be that if one person doesn't give you respect, you go off the rocker, you lose control? So first of all, some say no, it's possible. The Gemara in fact gives a story to this. The Gemara has a story where one of the Amoraim was invited to a party by a king, and at the party they had everything you can possibly imagine, without exception. There was one nut that was missing at the table. And when the king saw that nut, that delicacy was not at the table, he went, Meshuggah, and he went out of his mind. So in Echnami, there is such a thing. This has to be analyzed by a psychologist. There could be such a thing, but Chazal say, no, it is indeed possible. And some, okay, now, on the other hand, I think there's a much simpler answer, and it's a beautiful idea. And that is, kovod is all make believe. Bezionos is real. In fact, he gives him in this story. He gives him a story in little teeny letters in the footnote. He says of a story about a certain gadol. I'm not sure I'm saying the story correct, so I'm not going to say what the gadol is. But one of the big gadolim, he goes to raise money to give mussar. So there was once a fellow who accompanied this very holy person. And they came to a certain yeshiva. He had to speak with the Rosh Yeshiva, whoever was there. And while he was there, he was in the yeshiva, and he mingled with the Talmidim. And the Talmidim did not show him respect. They viewed him as just like a schnorrer or whatever. They didn't show him any respect. So as they went home, his driver, this gadol, this holy person, complained to his driver, it really bothers him very much the way the Talmidim treated him in this yeshiva. So the driver said, what do you care? I take you all the time, I take you all over Eretz Yisrael, and I see my own eyes, wherever that you go, you receive covered malachim. We went to this yeshiva, you went to this yeshiva, don't you remember this, all the covered you got? So big deal, we went to one yeshiva, the Talmidim, they don't give you a reason, what's with you? Who do you, I mean, this is who you say you are? So he said, let me explain to you. When I go with you, when you take me to all of the yeshivas and they give me kavod, is the kavod real kavod? It's not real kavod. The only reason why they're standing off of me and they have respect and they introduce me and they say such nice things because they want something from me. I'm very well connected. And if they give me kavod, they know they'll get something back in exchange. They know I'm a celebrity, maybe I'll come for this, I'll do this and this and this. It's not real. It does, so it's not like I really get covered. I go with you all the time. The covered is just baloney. It's fake. But here, when I got bezionos, when the Talmidim, they spoke to me in such a way, and it was real. They really showed they don't hold from me. And the same way they don't hold from me, I realize no one holds from me. No one thinks anything of me. I'm a nothing. And all the covenant is baloney. In other words, bizionos is real. Kavod is fake. Haman was no tippish. The whole world stood up for Haman. That was the decree. The decree is when Haman walks in the street, everyone has to stand up and cheer. It's like in North Korea, right? In North Korea, do they really have respect for the leader of North Korea? When all those people...
They know they're gonna
what's
be
his name?
Shorter.
Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un. They don't have respect. It's all for show, because if you don't show respect, you'll be killed in one moment. And the whole country, I mean, it's... Yeah?
It's not... It's not... The kavod is not given to him as a person, but...
The office.
But the, what he represents...
Represents. And, the office.
In Haman's case, it's yes. That he needs others' approval because... Within himself, he feels
inadequate.
Yeah,
he has an inferiority complex. He has an inferior others. He has an. So you're psychoanalyzing Haman. He has an inferiority complex.
It's deep psychoanalysis.
Anyway, I think it is deep.
He killed his wife last because she was going to knock him down a little.
She didn't want the chizuk. Okay, then maybe, could be. But and it's very, very true. I know there are people that can look around the room. They can look around the room and they can tell you, look at a person, they can tell you every insult, every nasty word that person said to him his entire life. This one, that one, this one said this to me. 5 years ago, he said this to me. 4 years ago, this one said that. What about all the compliments, all the brachos when you made a simcha, you married for children, they said such nice things and this and this, and you spoke and they introduced you and they said all of those nice things? I really don't remember. I really cannot recall all of the nice compliments that my friends have bestowed, have said to me over the years. But the little teeny insults, these little jokes, and every joke, these sly remarks, this little mashuk of truth, a kernel of truth, no sly remarks, that I remember. And the average person, you don't have to be a Eloi to relate to this. Why is that true for the average person? They remember the insults and they don't remember the compliments, because the compliments are not real. They're just fluff. It's just chanifa, flattery. But the insults, that touches your core, because that's real. That's exactly what's happening over here. Haman, oh my gedulus, but v'chol ze einene shaveh li. You know why? It's not sincere. It's really not sincere. But it's all I got in life. But the insult, this little teeny insult, it's real and it hurts. And I gotta eliminate this so I can go back and live a life of fantasy, a life of make believe. That's my life, Haman says. I live a life of make believe. So be it. But the pain of the real little insult, he reminds me of who I really am, the nothing that I really am. Subconsciously, I can't deal with this. I have to eliminate my pain. Okay, we'll stop over here.